From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
I'm Jim Lavoulis in for David Gustina. Coming up this week, there is debate about whether wealthy New Yorkers are leaving the state. Local leaders remain opposed to Governor Andrew Cuomo's proposed changes to municipal aid, and our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on a proposal to split New York State into two entities. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo says changes to the federal tax code led to a growing state deficit and is causing some high-income earners to leave New York State. But progressive groups, some Democratic state lawmakers, and even some millionaires are pushing back against that assertion, saying there's no hard evidence that any wealthy New Yorkers are leaving. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
The governor met with President Trump to try to convince him to change back the tax code, and he started a nationwide campaign to try to get the code overturned. Cuomo says the new limits to deductions for state and local taxes from federal income taxes, known as SALT, harms people in relatively high-tax states like New York. Many wealthier New Yorkers will now have to pay more in taxes than under the old system.
On any level, how is this fair?
Cuomo blames the state's growing deficit. It's now at $2.6 billion on the SALT changes, though many economic experts say it's more likely a result of the downturn in the stock market and smaller bonuses paid to Wall Street executives in 2018. Cuomo says things will only get worse as the richest New Yorkers change their primary residence to avoid the taxes. And he says it wouldn't take many people leaving the state to have a big effect on the budget.
We have one of the most progressive tax codes in the United States, which is a good thing, which means the richer you are, the more you pay. However, that presents a very fragile economy because then you are relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of your tax dollars.
The governor, when pressed by reporters, could not provide hard evidence on wealthy people leaving the state, but he says he's had indications that some might be departing.
We have information already on who is paying what and who might be moving.
Not everyone thinks that the tax changes will cause the rich to flee New York, including the group Patriotic Millionaires. Morris Pearl, a former hedge fund manager and member of the group, says he's not leaving, and he says he's willing to pay more in taxes if the money goes to needed services like schools and subsidized housing and infrastructure projects.
I can live, frankly, wherever I want to live. I retired some years ago. I do philanthropy and advocacy work full time, and I choose to live in the same place where people from all over the world are moving to find the innovation, to find the resources, to find the new ideas and new businesses that are sprouting not in Kansas where they have low taxes, not in Florida, but in New York City. I work in the shadow of the Flatiron Building. I live in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I'm not going anywhere.
And Pearl says there are more millionaires than ever in New York.
The governor is simply incorrect when he says that people are moving out of New York because of taxes.
Pearl testified before a legislative budget hearing where he advocated for imposing additional tax brackets beyond the current top tax rate for those earning more than $1 million a year. Proposals by Democrats in the Senate and Assembly include new, higher tax rates for those earning more than $5 million a year, more than $10 million a year, and more than $100 million a year. At the hearing, Assembly Ways and Means Committee Chair Helene Weinstein asked Cuomo's acting tax commissioner, Noni Mannion, if she could provide evidence that the wealthy are actually leaving the state as a result of the tax changes.
Have we seen an actual decrease in the number of high-income taxpayers since the federal tax law was passed?
It passed at the end of last year, so we don't have all of the tax returns yet, so we can't really say for sure. We've heard some anecdotal information that people are leaving, but we've had a lot of anecdotal information, you know, about a lot of different issues around the federal tax changes.
Mannion says she'll know more for certain in April when the full tax returns are filed. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
We're joined now by the Legislative Gazette's political observer, Dr. Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, the debate has surfaced again. Should New York become two separate entities? A state senator from the Capital Region is calling for a study that would examine that question. Freshman Republican Daphne Jordan of Half Moon has introduced legislation that would establish a working group to study the process and ramifications of separating upstate New York from Westchester and Rockland counties, New York City, and Long Island. Your thoughts on this?
It's a bunch of nonsense. We all know it. First of all, as I have often said, the Republican minority in the Assembly has the power of warm spit. And, you know, this is just a way of inflaming their base. Where have we seen people who inflame their base before? There is no question that the engine that drives New York State now, without question, is the New York City group. But if I were an upstate person, I would not want that. I may have my problems with Andrew Cuomo. I may have my problems with, paying for some of the subway systems. But New York City pays for a great deal that goes on upstate, roads and other things. We have seen this over the years again and again and again. Sometimes it used to be New York City, which wanted to get out of New York State and have a separate place because they felt that the city resources were being drained by upstate interest. It's not going to happen. I'm sure we'll see this anytime somebody wants to get into a newspaper.
It has been about a week since Amazon announced it was scrapping plans for a second headquarters in New York City after it faced opposition from local elected leaders, including some Democrats in the state Senate. Now state lawmakers are proposing a measure that would form an interstate compact to end what they call excessive corporate welfare for large companies. So it appears the Amazon matter is creating some ripple effects.
Well, we do know that AOC, Ms. Cortez, and some of the progressives have made a big thing about this. I think a terrible error was made here. We had 25,000 jobs coming to New York City, but that's the way it is. Is there concern about corporate welfare and the fact that Bezos and his company don't pay any taxes? Yes, there is, and it's appropriate. Nevertheless, you threw the baby out with the dirty water here, and that's the last thing that should have happened. So I think that there are many people, for example, who thought AOC, Ms. Cortez, was a savior. I'm not hearing that right now. I see an awful lot of people who are for her who now are thoroughly disillusioned with her. Mike Gianaris, who's always been a favorite of mine, who's the deputy leader in the state Senate, he's coming in for some of his own criticism of his role in making sure that Amazon didn't come to New York. I think it was a missed opportunity. I think an awful lot of other people think that, too.
After Democrats won the New York State Senate from Republicans in November, there was some talk about Ed Koch stepping down as the GOP state chair. After about a decade leading the group, those discussions appear to be continuing. So do you think there will be a change?
No. I'm a huge Ed Koch fan. I think he's done in New York State, which has overwhelming numbers of blue Democrats. He's done an extraordinary job. He is, of course, Republican royalty in that he is the son-in-law of Dick Nixon. He has a gravitas which you don't see among many politicians. You know, after a while, people get tired of you. The Republicans are in the dumps in New York, and as long as Trump is the president, that's going to happen. I'm one who believes that the state Senate went Democratic because of Trump. I thought it was a absolute stick in Trump's eye from the voters in New York. However, since that time, I've seen the Democrats misbehaving, turning on each other, having fights with the governor, And that's the last thing they should do. Now, let me tell you why, Jim, because in 2021, we're going to have another redistricting in New York. New York will lose one or two more congresspeople because relative to the other states, there are 435 congressmen, relative to the other states, we have fewer people, and we're going to have to carve up the state again. And that is going to be an opportunity for the Democrats to cement their victory. And when they do that, they can fairly redistrict, fairly, if they want to do it, even any kind of redistricting which doesn't give the Republicans the kinds of advantages they've always gerrymandered themselves into. But if, in fact, what they do is screw it up and start to fight with each other, and people get disgusted and say, okay, there's nothing in this for we Long Islanders or we Westchesterites. It's all about the city, and the Democrats aren't being fair about this. They could lose it all, and they could go back to Republican control of the Senate.
Our political observer, Dr. Alan Chartok. You're listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York state government and politics. I'm Jim Lavoulis, in for David Gastina. U.S. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer recently visited the Hudson Valley. He was there telling local police departments and elected officials that he will try to secure funding for detection tools in the battle against opioid addiction. More from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
The Senate Minority Leader stood outside the Poughkeepsie Police Department, saying he was renewing his push for a bipartisan bill set to be reintroduced to help state and local law enforcement secure new portable screening devices to identify drugs, such as the deadly synthetic opioid, fentanyl.
These machines can tell about 30 kinds of drugs, and the machines are so powerful they could detect fentanyl and some of these other drugs through a pill bottle.
He says federal law enforcement officials have already deployed this equipment to screen contraband smuggled into the U.S. at the border or through the mail. The bill Schumer backs is called the Power, or Providing Officers with Electronic Resources Act. He says it would authorize $20 million for the U.S. Department of Justice to create the grant program to help small cities, counties, and other municipalities obtain funding to pay for the devices, which cost about $80,000 each.
I hope that the bill will pass this spring, and this money will be available starting October 1st when the next federal budget occurs. And it'll help increase the safety of our police officers as well as their effectiveness.
Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro.
We know that we are facing the public health crisis of our lifetime, and too many lives are being taken because of addiction and the ills of addiction, and ultimately losing lives to overdose.
In 2017, 75 people died from opioid overdoses in Dutchess County. Schumer says New York State Department of Health statistics showed Dutchess had 277 outpatient emergency department visits related to opioid overdoses that year, and 1,453 people from the county were admitted into chemical dependency programs, while 390 people were administered the opioid overdose reversal drug naloxone. Molinaro describes the county's addiction response program as robust.
Law enforcement in Dutchess County today, everyone on the street is being trained in crisis intervention training, mental health first aid. We're training in Narcan use. We're giving our law enforcement officials the tools necessary to respond effectively. However, we need the tools to make sure that they are safe in doing so. And the Power Act, with the grant funding, enables us to assist local law enforcement with the tools and technology needed to protect them while each and every one of them sacrifice on behalf of us.
Republican Poughkeepsie Mayor Rob Rollison was a police officer for 26 years.
We, in 2017, started a new team partnering up with mental health professionals from Dutchess County called the BEAT Team, which is the Behavioral Evaluation Action Team. Specially trained crisis intervention officers go out with mental health professionals and help people in crisis. Now, unfortunately, they already are in crisis. And they're in crisis because of addictions, whether it's alcohol, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's both. And this Power Act maybe will help not getting as many people at that stage where we have to have more beat teams.
And Rollison says keeping law enforcement safe. Fentanyl is 50 times more potent than heroin, and the illegally manufactured variety is often mixed with heroin or other drugs without the user's knowledge, according to Senator Schumer.
It comes from synthetic drugs from China, and the Chinese government is horrible about this. They let these big drug manufacturers make this stuff and send it to us. China is awful to the United States in a lot of ways. It's one of the areas I agree with Donald Trump. We should be much tougher on China than we are.
He notes that exposure to illicit fentanyl can be fatal. Schumer says the Poughkeepsie Police Department would need up to 6 screeners for its force of about 90. Prior to his Poughkeepsie visit, Schumer was in Westchester and Orange counties, also pushing the Power Act.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
As budget season heats up in Albany, a bipartisan group of Capital Region lawmakers and county leaders recently gathered across the river from the Capitol to pressure Governor Andrew Cuomo over local aid, the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports.
Under the Democratic governor's 30-day budget amendment proposal, the Aid and Incentives to Municipalities program would use anticipated internet sales tax revenue to preserve some $59 million in revenues. Speaking in East Greenbush, Albany County Executive Dan McCoy criticized that newfound funding mechanism.
That basically affects us in potential of sales tax revenue that we haven't even got. So before we even get to the sales tax revenue, they already decide how we're going to spend it. That's not government. That's not a partnership. That's a dictatorship.
Town of East Greenbush Supervisor Jack Conway.
Earlier this morning, we had a meeting here at the County Executive Holds Quarterly Supervisors Roundtables. And I think those are important because they speak to a kind of working partnership between county and municipalities. We've developed that in Rensselaer County. We value it. And we think that the latest ideas on the AIM funding, which is that the county will make us whole, really isn't something that makes us whole. We think it's something that basically robs Peter to pay Paul. We request that the state restore AIM funding. In our case, we have basically a $10 million tax levy. Every $100,000 is a 1% tax increase. So the almost $75,000 we'll lose under the governor's proposal will be a 0.75% tax increase on the residents of East Greenbush.
McCoy says the changes would disrupt stability and change the way counties and municipalities interact.
In the town of Colony, this is basically $500,000 AIM funding that Paul Mahan loses. Now, to raise taxes to meet that, she'd probably have to raise taxes over 2-2.5% to make up for that funding and to really pit us against each other. At a time when we need to be working together and showing this nation what it means to be a New Yorker coming together, it's not the right message. It's not the right message.
Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin.
Just for Rensselaer County, if we are made to pay this bill, it's $600,000 of taxpayer money. We work closely hand-in-hand with our towns and villages, but as Jack just said, this is robbing Peter to pay Paul.
McLaughlin senses a calamity in the making.
There's an 8% sales tax. The state gets their 4% cut. They collect all 8. They keep 4, and then 4 comes out to the county, which we then share with our towns and villages. So what the governor is proposing is to keep his 4, and he keeps talking about internet sales tax, which is not the law yet, has not even passed. But what he's attempting to do is say, I'm going to keep all of that internet sales tax for the state, and I'm going to make the county pay what the state should be paying.
Mentioning early voting, McLaughlin says it's an avalanche of unfunded mandates.
The state needs to take their responsibility seriously and provide this aid and incentives back where it belongs. When the governor says he restored it, restoring something means you put it back the way it was. He actually just shifted the buck over to us and handed us a bill. So imagine if somebody was paying you $50,000 a year and then they just turned to somebody else and said, here, now you pay. That's basically what's going on. So it is wrong on so many levels.
The new fiscal year starts April 1.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
In a statement, the New York State Division of the Budget says, quote, the budget puts local businesses on a level playing field with online retailers while raising $220 million in sales taxes for counties outside New York City, meaning it will generate enough revenue to ensure towns and villages are kept whole following changes to the AIM program while still leaving most of the new revenues to counties to bolster their budgets or provide tax cuts. You're listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm Jim Lavoulis, in for David Gastina. A request by the union representing forest rangers in New York seeking pay equity with environmental conservation officers is raising concerns about whether it could lead to a merger of the two divisions. While the DEC emphasizes there is no plan to change the structure, others say a letter issued last fall could be interpreted as a merger plan. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley looks at the environmental conservation officer's perspective.
This is not the first time the Civil Service Commission has reviewed a salary parity request from forest rangers. In 2015, the board rejected a union appeal, stating, quote, "Forest rangers retain their significantly different mission and a lesser scope of direct police officer law enforcement responsibility than environmental conservation officers," unquote. In a November 2018 letter urging parity, the Department of Environmental Conservation suggests that, quote, "the forest ranger title be consolidated with the environmental conservation police officer title," unquote. The Adirondack Council was among those interpreting it as a move to merge the two divisions. Retired DEC Division of Enforcement Director Joe Schneider says he shares concerns raised by some environmental groups and the confusion about what is intended.
I have absolutely no objections, and I don't think most anybody in the department has any objections to the rangers making more money. But ultimately, I think what happened with this last, people are calling it a merger, people are calling it a parenthetical through civil service. Now that what they have proposed is coming out, I think many of the rangers are going, whoa, wait a minute. Does this mean, one, our title is going to be eliminated? Two, this is a merger. Three, that you're changing our duties. There's a lot of questions that come with the way this was described.
Schneider adds that the proposal's ambiguity is also creating tension among NCON officers.
Because they see it as, why are rangers taking over our job? And tension on the rangers' side, because they're like, well, why are they making us do that? It sounds like they're going to do away with the ranger job. As far as a merger of the two divisions, it's been talked about for years. I just think that this was an attempt to get the rangers a raise that kind of took a curve, if you will, and that only now that everybody's bringing out the problems with the way it was done is it starting to cause some friction.
Lieutenant William Van Slyke retired after 25 years with the Environmental Conservation Police. Earlier in his career, he served 7 years as a forest ranger. He says ECOs are not concerned about salary parity, but a merger could be problematic due to the differences in job responsibilities.
It's peaked right now because they're talking about a change of title. From what I've seen, they're talking about environmental conservation officer and environmental conservation officer slash forest ranger. That's the concern, I believe, at this point. You can't just plug somebody into that job. That's why we have the two-year training period after the academy for ECOs. All these things are completely different than what the forest ranger's job is. So what I'm trying to get at is you just can't take a forest ranger and plug them into an ECO's job.
A DEC spokeswoman said in January that the classification for job titles are being reviewed to determine salary parity, and there is no proposal to change departmental structure. Changes are scheduled to go into effect April 1st if approved by the Department of Civil Service.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And to hear from forest rangers, go to WAMC.org. And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available by calling 1-800-323-9262. That number is 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1908 or just listen at WAMC.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Jim Lavoulis, in for David Gastina.
statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.